the following podcast is adult in nature. It's graphic. It's not safe for work. And we use a lot of four-letter words. Those four-letter words might be kiss or love, or they might be butt or something else. So put your earbuds in. Make sure that there's nobody around to hear this story except for people who want to hear these stories. And let's get to it.
I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this week we have a story about a sexy story. Wait, a sexy story about a sexy story. Is that right? Maybe that's right. Anyway, it's a sexy story from Scott Glancy. Before we get into this week's episode, I want to extend an invitation to you. Because this Friday, July 3rd, we are having our next Body Storytelling live stream. And this one's really going to be a good one. We are going to have LGBTQIA motivational speaker and filmmaker Buck Angel, GLAAD award-winning performer and fragile stud Marga Gomez, sex worker rights activist and author Antonia Crane, Oakland sex shop owner of Fillmore 510, Nina Joyner. We've got clever and beautiful and filthy songs from Shirley Gnome, prizes from Dirty Masks, prizes from our Dick Soap friends at Hip Modern Soap, and more. This is a really special show. So let's make our own fireworks together. Get your tickets on the website, or you can get them pretty much anywhere on social media. We've got links all over the place, and there'll be links in the show notes too. How's your week going? I'll tell you that thing that Rhea inspired last week, the five things to be grateful for, that's been a great project. It's work. It's work that slows me down a little bit, but it's the kind of work that makes me focus on the positive and the good. And that's a project that I really need right now. Thank you again, Rhea, for the Ms. Dixie Naked Dance Party that kicked that off. I also want to tell you a project that I did a week and a half ago because the fireworks were scaring the crap out of Quake, my 165-pound St. Bernard. You would not think a dog that big would be a giant baby, but you'd be wrong because Quake's a scared of everything. We made him a blanket fort. Who would think in your tiny little apartment in San Francisco you would find a surprising new space in your 10x12 living room? We moved out the couch a little bit. We put the giant dog bed back there. And somehow, even though there was nothing to really anchor it to, we used office clips and a few other things, attached it to the side of the couch, and we made him a little blanket for it. And he loves that thing. And an added bonus for me is that I can just reach down on my side of the couch, and there's this giant furry head that I can scratch. So he's getting more loving from me. He's got this safe little dark place to hide from the fireworks, and they have been going nuts in my neighborhood. We had one go off the other day that shook the whole house, set off every car alarm for 2 blocks. It sounded like a bomb going off, and it was terrifying, and he insisted on climbing on top of the couch on top of both of us to hide. We were with him. It was scary. The other day, I got a Venmo payment from somebody who said, "Dixie, you could use some cheering up. So here's what you have to do. I want you to take this money and I want you to buy some crab with it because crab turns me around." Well, I had it the other day and I told you last week I was going to have it, but I had it for breakfast. Have you ever had crab for breakfast? It's better than you think it'd be. made some Cheddar Bay biscuits because that was from a box of Red Lobster stuff. You know, it's not like I made them homemade or anything like that. But like late breakfast at like 11:30, crab turned that day around, I'll tell you. Another thing I have to look forward to is my mother decided a good idea would be to give me a freezer for my birthday. And she said, here's some money, pick out one you want. And we live in a small apartment, so we don't really have room for a freezer. We found a tiny one. I think it's like 5 cubic feet. So it's kind of like the freezer on your refrigerator, except another one, you know, which doubles your freezer space. That's good. I don't know what we're going to do with it, but it's the end of the world, right? It's the great pandemic. So we should keep extra stuff in our house. It was the most incredibly practical late birthday present ever, but it actually calms my anxiety to prepare for the future and have things stored away. We did plant this whole pallet garden in the backyard when they announced the shelter in place. Our garden is not really working. We don't get enough sun in our backyard, so our basil's doing okay. We got a few little tiny baby cherry tomatoes. Maybe we'll have like 3 cherry tomatoes out of that. But the rest of it is not really sure if it's going to turn into vegetables or it's just going to sit there and look sad. But we know that now. We know that about our backyard, and it's still kind of exciting to walk out and see that wall, that pallet leaning up against the wall with all those plants. They're trying. Just like we're all trying, right? Let's keep struggling. Let's get through. It's how many years now, or 4 months, or I'm not sure how long we have been in shelter in place. I've had this foot injury that's been bugging me for a long time, and I think I've decided it's a lot more serious than I thought it was. But you know what? Since I really rarely leave the house, how the fuck would I know? So I think I'm going to go get an x-ray and see a podiatrist because I got uncovered California, and I'm attempting to have insurance. Let's see how that goes. By the time you pay the payment, I don't know that you can actually see a doctor and then, you know, get the bill and find out what that's like. And I'm a little gun shy after that incident last year where I got a $30-some-thousand bill for going to the emergency room. But I'm going to be brave. I'm going to get an x-rayed. I'm going to find out if it's a stress fracture or tendonitis or whatever it is. It's so good to have a story I'm excited to share with you from our beloved Rebar, which is now gone in Seattle. I miss my Seattle friends and family up there so much. Family as in chosen family. It's good to hear the sound of their laughter. It's good to have the feeling of that stage. I can imagine myself sitting on it and have that memory. And I know that right now they're removing every last piece because it's the end of the month, tearing everything out of that building. And it makes me really sad. Dane Garfield Wilson, thank you for the work you did in the world. Thank you for making a venue for freaks and perverts and queers and everybody to have a home in Seattle. I know that you're planning on relaunching in 2021, and I hope everything goes the way that you want to. And I don't know where the hell you're going to store all that equipment, because it's lights and soundboards and audio equipment and probably a lot of booze too. I hope you buy a big storage unit, and I hope that you relaunch bigger and better in 2021. 2021. We're halfway through the year, but it feels like that's the carrot that's dangling out there. Maybe if we can get past this year and into that one, it'll all be better. That's what I'm hoping for. You know what feels good? Getting to talk about a product and a company that you love. And when that company sponsors you and likes what you do too, you can feel even better about it. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Uberlube. Uberlube is a top-notch product, and I can talk about my own experience with it. It's lube that makes you feel good. If you're going to add lube to your magic moments, you want to make sure it's the highest quality and has the most body-safe ingredients. And for that, nothing beats Uberlube. I'm going to tell you a few things about Uberlube. You pick the one that sounds right for you. Uberlube is a luxurious, high-grade silicone lubricant made from clean, body-friendly ingredients. It's silicone with a little vitamin E, that's all. The vitamin E leaves this velvety finish on your skin that actually moisturizes your skin. It's great for all kinds of play, vaginal, anal, oral, all of the above. People can use it on their hair, for frizzies, for chub rub. It's summertime, underneath their breasts, between their thighs, all of those things and more. Uberlube's for everyone. Thousands of doctors recommend it as their go-to solution for patients experiencing dryness. And Uberlube lets skin feel skin. Lube is supposed to enhance touch and not overpower it. Uberlube adds a thin layer that leads to just the right amount of slip while still allowing for skin-on-skin sensation. And you're in control of how long it lasts. It offers long-lasting performance when you want it, then it quickly dissipates without leaving a sticky residue. Many people say, "I never knew lube could be this good." Users report loving it on their body and not feeling like they need to wash it off. There's no flavor and no scent. And it's free of nasty additives like parabens, preservatives, and petrochemicals. It stays on the surface of the skin and doesn't enter the bloodstream like water-based lube. That seems really important, doesn't it? Uberlube's latex compatible, so it's safe and effective with condoms. Works underwater, so you can fool around in pools, lakes, and tubs. And it doesn't stain clothing or bedding. And right now, they're offering Body Storytelling listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use the code DIXIE at uberlube.com. 10% off, but free shipping. Even better. Just use the code Dixie at uberlube.com. Thank you to Uberlube for sponsoring the Body Storytelling Podcast. Uberlube lets you feel what you want to feel. Give it a try. It really is the best. I think it's time for a story, don't you? Let's talk about this week's storyteller. Scott Glancy left a perfectly serviceable law career to write for role-playing, the nerd equivalent of running away to join the Foreign Legion. He has appeared on such podcasts as Role Playing Public Radio, Legends of Tabletop, The Drunk and Ugly Podcast, A People's History of the Cthulhu Mythos. Did I pronounce that right? I'm not really sure. Get Off My World, and Podcast at Ground Zero. He likes stories. He likes sex. He likes sexy stories and storied sex. This storyteller is Scott Glancy.
So I get the envelope out of the mailbox, and it doesn't have a return address. It's addressed to me. It's typed on the envelope, and I open it up, and the letter says, "You are cordially invited to room 305 of the Ocean View Hotel in Daytona Beach, Florida, 2 days hence at 7 p.m. Be prepared to do as you're told. Pack an overnight bag, as you may be invited to stay until morning. In case you're wondering whether or not you know me, your mother's maiden name is Brown, and your birthday is September the 8th. Now, everything about that letter pushed all the buttons. Somebody knows exactly what to put in this letter. And I look at the postmark, and it's right there in Orlando, Florida. But there is nobody in Orlando, Florida who knows this about me. You know, nobody. I have no idea who this could possibly be from. But I'm going to go to Daytona Beach, right? I mean, there's just no way I'm not going to go to Daytona Beach, because I have to find out who she, well, maybe, I guess it's a she, I don't know, but I'm not gonna find out unless I go to Daytona Beach. And so I get in the car and I drive the, I don't know, it's like 40 miles to Daytona Beach, I think it was like 15 minutes. I get to the early, I look at there's the hotel, I scout it out, I don't know why, what am I expecting, but I you know, go up to the hotel room a few minutes before 7 o'clock, and I get there, and right on the door is this plastic bag, and a note attached to the plastic bag says, "For Scott." so I look in the bag, and speaking of masks, what's in the bag but a sleep mask with like fur on one side and an elastic band, and the note says, put the mask on, furry side towards your eyes. Knock when you are ready. Under no circumstances are you allowed to speak while you're inside the room. You may only say, I'm about to come. And if anything happens that you're not comfortable with, you may say your safe word, which for tonight is blue. When you're ready, put on the mask and knock on the door. Now, obviously I put on the mask. And I knocked on that door. And you know, there's this Monty Python sketch about the world's most dangerous joke, where there's like this joke writing guy and he's trying to make new material, and he finally writes the best joke of his whole career, and it's so funny he laughs until he dies. And then his wife comes in, right? And his wife sees him and says, oh my God, he's dead, and sees the piece of paper, and she thinks it's a suicide note, and she reads it and she laughs until she dies, right? And then finally, you know, before that whole sketch is over, the British military finds the note and they translate it into German, and they defeat the Nazis and win World War II by using, okay, I'm not having a stroke. These things are actually connected, all right? Hold on, these are connected because this sex story, the things that happen on the other side of that door have over the years proven to be like, it might be the world's most dangerous sex story. And I don't mean that people have heard it and died. I mean that if I tell it to people, they fuck me. This keeps happening, all right? I told it to my wife, Jane, over there. She heard it, and that was part of her equation going, oh yeah, I'm gonna fuck him and possibly marry him. I had a girlfriend, Tria, who I met through the Stranger Personals, just to date the whole event, where we hadn't met yet, but I start telling the story over the phone, and she begins furiously and vocally masturbating to the story as I'm telling it to her over the phone, and then, yes, clearly later, you know, we had sex. My wife and I were going to Port Townsend with my friend Rachel, and we were on the ferry, and the ferry line was long, so I told the story while waiting in the line for the ferry, and oh, ha-ha, here's this amazing sex story I had. And I got out of the car to go get checked in to the hotel that we're going to get in Port Townsend. My wife and Rachel begin making out in the car. Completely, I have no idea that's happening. They're making out. They decide they're going to ambush me. We go, we're still getting two rooms, right? And they're all like, yes, we're getting two rooms. Just go get the two rooms. Rachel says, listen, I got to go and call my husband and let him know I landed. All right, everything's cool. It's like, give me 5 minutes. I'm like, okay. My wife, Jane, drags me into our room, hauls out my cock, immediately jumps on it, just panties aside, dress up, we're having an amazing, she's like doing the thing that she should never do to a man, don't you come yet. And I'm like, and I'm like, oh my God, we got to go to dinner. We're going to dinner. You can't be doing this while we're going to dinner. And, you know, okay, it's 5 minutes. Look, we'll just go back over next door. And I knock on the door. I was like, hey, Rachel, you ready to go to dinner? And I open the door, and she's on the bed in a corset and garters with stockings and this big Victorian bed. And we're not going to fucking dinner. Now, at some point, I realized that this story was my wingman, and that I should use it to my advantage, right? So there's one time this girl, Zania, and I'm telling her the story, and she's like, okay, we need to leave, check, and she wants to go immediately now, but I didn't finish the story. And we get in two separate cars, and we're driving to some place to have sex, and I'm in the car going, you know, I really wanted to finish the story, but, you know, I'm feeling a little frustrated, you know, a little blocked, because I didn't get to the end of the story. And so when we finally get to someplace private to have sex, and we're finally, our clothes are off, and my fingers are inside her, and suddenly, you know, I'm like, because there's something wrong with me. I said, do you want to hear the rest of the story? And she doesn't say, no, just fuck, just shut your mouth or fill it with vagina or something, you know. She says, yes, I want to hear the rest of the story. And so there I am telling the rest of the story while wiggling my fingers up inside of her, and her insides are trying to grind the bones of my fingers together until they're just powder. And, but every time I hit a beat in the story, she has another orgasm. And I'm thinking, ha ha ha, hey, wait a minute. Is the story my wingman? Or am I the story's wingman? I mean, is it now separate from me and it's just stalking the world, you know, seducing people, and I'm just a vessel for it? Anyways, there's a lot of people in this venue, and I'm not really sure how the impact would be or whether this place is, you know, covered for what might happen if I was to tell the story in front of you all in this space. And so, you know, and it also concerns me that, okay, I've built this up. How am I actually gonna tell something good enough at this point, right? Because right now, behind that hotel room door, it's perfect. Whatever's on the other side of that door is everything that you want it to be, right? It's Helen Mirren with a bullwhip. It's an entire biker gang made up of Tom of Finland cartoons. You know, it's whatever your thing is behind it. If I said what's behind the door, I'm gonna fuck it up for all of you. It's already perfect. It's like the 10-foot cockroach problem in horror stories, where, you know, you go behind the door, there's a lot of anticipation, and it's a 10-foot cockroach. Well, who cares? It could have been 100 feet. You know, nobody cares once you actually see it. So we're just gonna leave this where it is, all right? We're not gonna finish the story. Now, you guys are disappointed, I can hear that. But there's something you gotta understand. Sometimes not knowing everything is even better. And I learned that on that night in that hotel room. Because they never took that blindfold off of me. They never made any noise when they were coming. I could hear them biting down their tongues and stifling it because they were not going to give me anything to identify them with. And after however many hours it was, I was untied from the bed. I was wiped down with warm towels to get all the lube and jizz and spit and sweat off of me. I was folded back into my clothes and given my overnight bag, and an envelope was shoved in my hand, and I was shoved out the door into the hall. And when I opened up that envelope and read what was inside, it starts by saying, first of all, do not be disappointed that you're not being allowed to stay. We enjoyed your company very much. But we would like some alone time now. And I know you're thinking that maybe you could go down to the front desk and you could ask the clerk and you could maybe find out who it was who was staying in room 305. But don't you think this is gonna make a better story if you just never find out? And they were right. Thank you.
Tell them to, it's true.
was made for you. I climbed across the mountain tops, swam all across the ocean blue, across the
That was The Story by Brandi Carlile. Okay, let's say you can't make it to this week's live stream on Friday night. Maybe the time's off. Maybe it's too late for you and you're part of the country. Maybe you're in another country. We've had people watching from all over the world. Well, guess what? You can watch the replay. Do you know where you can watch the replay? It lives on Patreon. Patreon is where we're putting all of the things that you want, all the stories, all the audio, all the behind the scenes, they all live on Patreon. Patreon is the thing keeping us going right now. There are no live shows, but it gives us hope to know that you believe in body storytelling and you want to help us continue. So go to patreon.com/body. You know how to spell body. And if you support us at the $10 a month level or higher, you're going to get not only free live stream tickets, you're also going to get access to the replay. Plus, you get the other stuff too. So go to patreon.com/body. Support us at whatever level you can. We appreciate it so much. Thank you for your support. Well, that's it for this week. But before we go, I want to say thank you to all the people who make this podcast possible. Thank you to podcast producer, live stream technical director, and every other thing, Marty Garcia. Marty, you are keeping this ship afloat, and I appreciate you so much. Thank you to sound engineer, David Grossoff. Thank you to video archivist, Joe Moore. And thank you to you for listening, for writing us a review if you feel like doing it. I'd really love that. Thank you for telling your friends. Because your good word of mouth makes all the difference in the world, especially right now. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour. This has been episode 130 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. See you next week.